Two, three, one.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Time!
It's about fucking time someone else is.
You were making it from young in the kitchen. Sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the gas, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no fuddy-duddies, that'll make it bad. For the stream is go direct to dlnetgf.org. And I see channels and Linux link.net. Our Tech Show just is right there, goes together, just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 971 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
How's it going?
We have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Here again. No, I got a question. Did anybody else notice the intro music fading in and out?
What, just now?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't just you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why that was. Maybe it's just the quality of the sound card. I don't know.
Whenever you're talking, I hear every little movement on your keyboard.
Well, yeah, that might be expected. But that... wait, let me... am I running into a problem with this here, too? Let's see. Output devices. No, that shouldn't be a problem. That is muted. Yeah, no, I muted everything. Oh, man.
You're schmuted.
I feel like it's back in the old, getting back to the old Asterisk days where you were trying to hook up like an external audio source through to a SIP phone to make it work. I mean, I loved Asterisk. Asterisk was great, but
yeah,
trying to
we had the bridge to the Sky people, and it worked.
Yep.
Yeah.
Then they just randomly killed it off.
That was unfortunate.
What was it, the bridge that was killed off or Asterisk?
The bridge was killed off.
Okay. Yeah, now everybody uses Zoom. Or Streamlabs if you're on a YouTube streamer.
Well.
So to cap off my crappy week, last week we had to put the cat down Thursday. And then I think it was Wednesday, the wife tells me, and here's the best part. Luke's in college now. Is going to classes during the day, so I actually get quiet time for work, which is awesome. But wife says, well, I'm going to go to the gym, then I'll go to the library or something like that, and she hit a parked car with my new car, not even a year old.
So what you're saying is the wife goes to the gym more often than you do?
Well, right now, yeah. That's going to change relatively soon because I'm no longer injured. I did something to my left ankle and it was just killing me. So the chance of me going and walking on a treadmill was remote. That wasn't going to happen.
My shoulders have just been killing me for like 3-4 weeks now. I've had to really take things easy when it comes to upper body. I had to basically restructure my whole workout routine. I bulked up on doing leg stuff, and I switched to basically mostly bands when it comes to upper body, at least until it heals.
Yeah, so...
So an injury's no excuse. You can't run, find something else to do.
Well, my lower extremities feel the best they've had in months, so I didn't really do anything. They just finally healed. So I think... I'm going to try and get back on the stick with that relatively soon, but
maybe not, you know, jump right into the gym and get back on the treadmill or anything, but
no, just take it easy. Yeah.
20 minutes of walking a day for a week, and then if that doesn't do anything for you, then step it out.
Yeah. But the other thing, too, I got to get done sometime this week is, and this is probably the weirdest thing I ever ordered on Amazon. Not weird as in, like, ew, weird. More like, why would you order that there? I got a deep freeze that we're going to stick in the garage, like a little 5-cubic-foot one. So when I go to the Sam's Club and buy,
I was going to say, if that's the weirdest thing you've ordered on Amazon, then yeah, well, you're pretty vanilla.
The weirdest is when it was delivered. It was delivered at 5 a.m. It's like, seriously? It sat on the porch for 2 hours until I woke up, because I usually don't wake up till about 7.
Well, at least it's unlikely that porch pirates are going to run away with it.
Yeah, it's 69 pounds, so yeah, I mean, and I manhandled it. It's still in a box in my garage. I got to figure out where exactly I want to put it. I'd actually like to put it inside, but wife says no, so we're going to keep it in the garage, because I actually have quite a bit of space in and around the kitchen. But, you know, I guess it kind of makes sense outside. My garage. Yeah.
Little one.
Yeah. Oh, this isn't a super huge one. It's 5 cubic foot. So it's probably half the size as the one that my mom and dad had when I was a kid, but it's good enough that I can like, cause you know, we'll go to the store and, you know, we get a lot of like Luke Lake's banquet meals and stuff like that for lunches and stuff, you know, so that, you know, we don't have necessarily have to cook at lunchtime.
I get a lot of frozen fruit, frozen vegetables. Yeah.
Stuff like that, too. Yeah, like bulky things or things that just don't fit well in the
I have
freezer.
No idea what I'm going to want to eat during the week. So
right, yeah.
I hate being forced to eat whatever's going to go bad first.
Yep. Yep. So, I mean, we also like to go do shopping at Sam's Club, too, and a lot of times you'll buy things out there that are, like, just huge and last a long time in the freezer. So it'd be better if I stick that kind of stuff out there than keep it in the main freezer, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think I want to step up my freezer game a little bit.
Right. Or, like, for example, yeah. like one thing I might pick up is I might pick up a pork loin and just stick it in the freezer. You know, so that way we have it.
Yeah, we do that.
So whenever there's a sale, you buy two.
One of the things that we like doing is like right after Thanksgiving, you know, or right
turkeys.
Coming up to Thanksgiving, turkeys
and,
will go on
and
sale,
ham.
And you're looking at like 60 cents a pound for turkey.
Yep.
Yeah, you're buying 20-30 pounds of turkey.
You can spatchcock the sucker too.
Yeah. You put it in the freezer.
Yep.
Oh, man. I just cooked one of my post-Thanksgiving turkeys a little while ago.
You did? Cool.
Absolutely, yeah. I got to make another one before Thanksgiving comes around.
Did you smoke it or fry it?
I smoked it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
No, I have some friends that swear by, like, getting the deep-fat fryer, filling it full of peanut oil and cooking the turkey that way.
Oh, it's great when you can do it that way. It is wonderful. But, you know, for me, I'd be the one that would, like, put too much oil in it and, you know, fire and, you know.
Right.
So it's like, you know, smoking it is perfectly fine. Of course, in order for me to fit it on mine, I'd probably definitely have to have a smaller turkey and probably spatchcock it so it lays flatter on the grill, but
I know the guys that do it with the fryer talk about doing it outside, so.
Well, yeah, you have to do it outside, but, you know, but
that way if they catch anything on fire.
Now, our church Sunday had a car show and fish fry, and man, it was so good. I think it was perch, so they got a whole mess of perch, and they were making it, and, so we ate lunch there before we came home to watch a football game. And that was nice. And I got to see some really cool cars. But turkey, I like turkey a lot. Other things I'd like to put in there. Probably like I said, every once in a while Sam's Club will put those the the loins, basically, it's the whole loin. You know, it's not, it's like the one side of the pig, you know, super huge. So I could cut that up and into multiple loins that we can smoke on the grill. Well, a lot of people say you don't want to smoke a loin and they get too dried out. And I'm like, well, you don't know how to do it right then.
Yeah, you tell them, Joel.
I mean, yeah, butt's going to be a little bit better, but.
Butt's always better.
Yep. That's a nice butt, right, Pat?
Pat, get some breasts in there.
There you go.
What's the name?
Fat cap. You leave your fat cap on when you do a butt, Pat?
Yeah, it's all good, man. It marinates the rest of it.
Yeah, put it on top. Cut it off. That way, when it renders down, there you go. Make some juicy pig.
Exactly.
I did. Well, what I need to do, like, see, one of the problems with the Pit Boss is even the smoke mode, the smoke, like, the higher temperatures that you really need to cook certain things, like pork at, you don't get a lot of smoke, so you use something called a smoke tube. And basically, it's like a mesh tube that you fill full of pellets. And actually, one thing I figured out with that is don't fill it completely. Don't pack it in. You want to leave some air in there around the pellets. Then the other thing is I have just like one of those creme brulee torches that I usually light it with. I want to go and get like a real honest guy, like a Benzomatic or something like that, that will stay lit a little longer when I go to light the smoke tube. But then if you get the smoke tube on fire, you can blow it out and then it just starts producing a ton of smoke. So that'll help get the flavor up. So currently I think I have hickory pellets in the buckets, but I have the rest of the competition blend that I had left over from last summer in the Pit Boss right now. So, but haven't done any, well, the only thing I've done a couple weeks ago, I did, we were making chili, but I thought what would be a good side for chili is I made some shotgun shells. Have you ever heard of those?
The things you put in your shotgun to make it go boom?
No, a delicious meat-based thing. Well, mostly meat. Which you take like your favorite like barbecue rub, and you mix it in with a pound of hamburger and they use Monterey Jack cheese. Next time I do it, I'm gonna put more cheese in it. But then you stuff the manicotti shell. You stuff that meat in there, and you do it before you cook the manicotti
shell. Just shove that meat right in there.
Exactly. But and then after that's done, you wrap it with a piece of bacon. All right. And then you put a little bit more of the rub on the outside. And then you let it sit, let the made up shotgun shell sit in the fridge for about 6 hours. And then you smoke them at 250. For an hour and a half, then you raise it to 350 for 10 minutes, and then you put them back in at 350 again for another 10 minutes after you put whatever kind of barbecue sauce you want on it. So I'm going to make some tweaks to it. Like I said, I want to put more cheese. I might put a different kind of cheese because Monterey Jack is not a strong cheese. So I really couldn't taste any of the cheese inside. But the upside is, and my son loved the heck out of them. He sat and ate about four or five of the dang things. There's also a thing out there called armadillo eggs, which is basically kind of like a jalapeno popper, but you coat the outside with like meat and then bacon.
Bacon wrapped jalapeno.
Yep, basically, yeah. Kind of like a pot. Well, kind of more like a Scotch egg, but instead of an egg in the middle, you have a jalapeno popper. without the writing on it, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah. That's tough jalapeno.
Yeah, basically.
That's
yeah.
in bacon.
So, mm-hmm.
That's how you make stuffed jalapenos.
Mm-hmm. But,
well, jalapeno poppers are technically something else, Jackie.
True, they're usually battered and fried. Or breaded.
Instead of battering and frying, it's just the smoking jalapeno with the habanero cream cheese wrapped in bacon.
See, another thing I've seen people doing too is they'll get like a one of those aluminum pans and they'll put like some Velveeta, some real cheese in there, some chilies and some tomatoes, you know, queso topping basically. And you smoke the queso and then you mix it together once all done.
Oh, we don't know anything about queso down in the Southwest.
Of course you don't. I keyed.
Or jalapenos.
Mm-hmm. I need to see if I can. I want to find some candied jalapenos because those are pretty good.
Oh, Jackie wants to know if you know where Truth or Consequences is.
In Texas?
Yeah.
I know it's in Mexico. Texas. Or, yeah.
It's New Mexico.
Never been there. I have been to Texas before. Multiple times.
You should look up the history on Truth or Consequences. It's actually interesting. On why they named it Truth or Consequences.
What I want to know is why they call it Intercourse, Pennsylvania, Intercourse.
Because that's what somebody was doing in the back of the wagon when it stopped there?
Could have been. But then there's also Blue Ball, Pennsylvania, too.
Well.
Yeah, Blue Ball. And Bird in Hand, Pennsylvania.
Couldn't get to in the bush.
So I gotta look up that story I sent Dan, because I did find a tech story that we can talk about.
We're gonna talk about tech on this podcast?
Yeah.
What do you? Ah, Jesus. Here we go again. What were you saying, Joel?
He says he's sending you an article.
Okay.
No, I already sent it to him today in email. It's in the book one. Lightband's moving its popular middleware program, Akka, from Apache open source license to a non-open source license, with a charge of $1,995 to $2,995 per core for its high-end enterprise users. The interesting article. And later on in the article, it says, open source is not a business model, and your business will fail if you think it is.
Okay. Sorry, I wasn't looking at that way. What? Wait, when did you send it?
Today. Oh, thou who never reads email.
Wait, the only thing I got from you today was the response to the good book bundle.
There, it's in the mobile chat now.
What account did you send it to?
Your Dan's account? Your Gmail?
No, I must have flagged you as spam or something.
How dare you? Anyway.
Open source. What? So what is Akka?
It is an open source middleware for building Java Virtual Machine highly concurrent, distributed, and fault tolerant systems. It offers Scala and Java APIs to developers to easily build scalable and fault tolerant software that can scale from PC to cloud applications. You've heard of companies that use it, however, they include Apple, Disney, GM, HP, Starbucks, and Tesla. The CEO of what's the name of the company? Lightbend, Jonas Bonnier, the company CEO and project founder, claims that those big companies haven't been paying their fair share, so Bonnier is switching Akka to BPL 1.1, which is a different license. And he explained that when he initially chose Apache 2.0 for Akka, he was unaware of the impact that the choice would have if Akka became a large global project, which it has. So, and basically, their whole reasoning for doing it is because those big companies I just read off aren't paying, you know, they're not paying anything for it, and they're not making any money off of the fact that they're using it. So it's like, that really, honestly, though, it's a peril of choosing an open source license, and good for him that he didn't choose something like the GPL, where they could not do that. That's one reason why GPL software, to me, licensing wise, for most people who use it, it's going to be a little bit better, because you're not going to have somebody pull a trick like this. So, article was by our friend Stephen Von Nichols over at ZDNet. So, but more fun. Let's see. I want to see if that
hold on a second.
Yeah.
So, couldn't businesses just keep using the existing version that they're on?
Well, they could. Then they could run into an issue like we did with Grails, where we had a vulnerability and we had to patch a few hundred servers. So, I mean, there's that. So,
I mean, the next question is, I guess couldn't a group take that Apache licensed version and fork it?
I don't know the morning on the. I don't know.
It's Apache 2.0, yeah. I'm not completely up on my Apache license. But
Me either. Because my thoughts too are, though, if you're an open source project, what I would love to see instead of money from these companies is like code contributions. Did they contribute code to the project? You know, that's a question I don't really have an answer for. I don't think the article said anything about that, but.
Oh, well.
It is what it is. I don't think the majority of people on this show are going to be impacted by it. Not like if there was a vulnerability in Grails or something. So, or like if AWS had an issue. So, fortunately, I didn't have any of those this week. But and I posted the link in the IRC. Humble Bundle's got a really good bundle of Linux books. It's Humble Bundle, so it's for what you pay for. I think you can get a good chunk of them if you only pay a dollar. So, it's not just Linux either. It's like there's one on a book in there on OpenBSD, OpenSCAD, FreeBSD, AutoTools. Looks like, is that PF Sense? Yeah, a book on PF. Book on GIMP and all that. But Dan and I kind of had a small discussion on technical books don't usually work as well if they are not dead tree versions. At least that's what Dan said. I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, The bundle looks fantastic, right. If not a bit eclectic. I mean, it's
right.
It's got like something for everybody, but Oh, you did. You know what? I see where that email was that you sent. It was piggybacked off the other one.
It was.
Oh, that's why I didn't.
Anywho, go there, yeah, out there, and grab that if you're interested in the books.
It's not, you know, for $40. I mean, it's a weird grouping. It's like programming interface, forensics, DevOps, Inkscape.
Yep.
Basics for hackers, FreeBSD, OpenSCAD, OpenBSD, the Book of PF, the Book of GIMP.
Yep.
Designing BSD rootkits.
These are all no starch press. These are books that we probably, I don't know if we might have given away some of these versions, but.
The Book of Audacity.
I don't really need a book on Audacity.
FreeBSD device drivers.
Yeah.
I mean, but still, I mean, there's for $40. These $40.
Is that what you have to do? You have to do, is it 40 for the whole bundle, or?
Pay at least $40 for these 21 items. If you want all of them.
Oh, if you pay a dollar, it scales it down to the Book of GIMP, Wikicool Shell Scripts, the Book of Audacity, and FreeBSD device drivers.
Like, that is, that right there is like the weirdest collection.
Right, I know, right?
Like, I, you know, this is more like a, how can they call it the Linux by No Starch Press book bundle when if you get the lowest bundle, it's FreeBSD device drivers?
That's right.
Like, the Book of GIMP and Wicked Cool Shell Scripts and the Book of Audacity would work great with the FreeBSD book. But
right.
Like, FreeBSD device drivers just seems way not out Linux. There. So if you get the $10 one,
that adds in, like, Absolute OpenBSD, AutoTools, Book of PF, and the ones we just talked about.
GNU MakeBook, Racket Programming the Phoneway, Designing BSD Rootkits. Again.
Kind of a weird combo.
Not, yeah, and half of them are not Linux.
And the 40 you get, for 40, I think you get all 21. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the book.
What do you get for 30? Oh, for 30, you get all of them but one.
All but one book?
Yeah.
Like, why? What is a $10 book? Oh, the Linux programming interface.
Oh, here, let me see. 30, let's see.
Man, that one book just bumped it all up by $10.
Okay, the one book. Wait a minute, hold on a second. Yeah, the one book that you don't get at the 30 level is the DevOps book, which is the one I want.
Wait, I thought it was the Linux programming interface.
Well, hold on. Let's go back to the $10.
Because DevOps for the Desperate, is that the one you would want?
Oh, wait, hold on. You might be right. Hold on. Let's see. I hate this interface. It's like, can't you just give me a freaking list with, you know, a web page that has a list for each one? Ugh. So, yeah, let me see. What's the lowest level you get that book at?
I think that's the $30.
$30, yeah. Well, yeah, that's the only, yeah. So once you go $30, you have that DevOps book, too, which that's the one I want the most because that's what we're doing. So... But anyway, the bundle's out there. I don't really want to talk about it too much anymore. Books are books. You know, No Starch Press has been good to the show in the past. So check it out. But I bit the bullet today, or yesterday, Dan. I paid for my next AWS cert.
No, what's that?
The AWS Architect Professional. Probably one higher than I would normally take, but for some reason, when I went to the website to go register for the test, I couldn't find the associate level, so I'm just going to get the professional one knocked out. So I'm scheduled for October 28th, so I gave myself over a month to get studied on it. And today I'm almost all the way through. As part of our training budget, we also get a subscription to a Cloud Guru, which is also if you've ever taken courses at Linux Academy, they're one and the same now. A Cloud Guru, I think they merged with Linux Academy. So I've gone almost all the way through chapter two. Chapter two talked about all the different AWS storage options, which also talks about databases. You know, so like if you have if you need an ACID database like MySQL or something like that, then you would want to use RDS to host that database. It talked about the base level of database, which is databases similar to like Mongo, and I think Redis is in there too, if I remember right. But and all those different things. And then the lab they had, I really couldn't do the lab because I get all the way through all the AWS console stuff. And then the last thing it has you do is it has you grab a data file in the lab, which I believe it's actually a JSON file. So what you're trying to do is you load that file into S3. That part I got done. But then the next thing is you tell Neptune, which is another which that's a different database type technology. Let me see. I don't want to give you the wrong one, so I'm going to Google it. that Amazon Neptune is a fully managed graph database. All right. So it's a non-SQL database, essentially. So the last, you go to load the data into Neptune from the S3 bucket using curl, and the command line I got from the lab, which was a real command line, it was a terminal in a browser is what it was, that was talking to the a Linux host hosted in AWS. And that did not have curl installed on it. So it's like, well, I can't do the rest of that, so I got to watch it. And the one thing that I'm probably going to get out of this is there's going to be an awful lot of the stuff that I have to know in order to pass the exam that I'll probably never use, like this. Or like, I'm trying to think of another one that's in there. Like recognition is like an image recognition service as a part of AWS. We're never going to use that. So, not to mention the fact a lot of the stuff that we do, we don't do at the AWS console anyway. We use tools we were a big user of Terraform. I don't know a lot about Terraform because I usually don't have to build those things yet. So Terraform, Ansible, we have our own in-house written CI/CD that we use. That we use for pipelines, and that's about it. You know, so I mean, it's a lot of the AWS stuff is all hidden behind code on the DevOps side of things, with, you know, code stored in Git, Terraform code, stuff like that. So, but they'll pay this one. The only thing is the cloud practitioner, which is usually the first certification I did, and I do help hold that currently. That one is only about $150. This one's $300. So I gotta pass it or they won't reimburse me. Surprisingly, they don't let you use the corporate card for those, but I guess they don't want to reimburse you unless you pass it. So that, and then I'm going to try and – I'm actually taking to the point now where, like, tomorrow I've got, like, a two-hour block of my work calendar that I'm going to use for studying for this test. And when I do that, I'm just going to go incommunicado and Slack because I need to study and need to pass this test. So I've been doing pretty good the last 2 days in a row. I did at least do some studying. So,
Well,
it's also one of the toughest exams you take. So
anyway. I had an interesting conversation at work today. There is a group of developers that for some reason have access to production. And if you're not aware, this is a major no-no.
Come on.
It's a violation.
Come on, Joe. Let him have it.
Major no-no. And anyway, so I put in the ticket to get their access revoked, and their manager's like, no, we need this access. We put in code, and then we need to be able to run it. And it's like, that's exactly why you're not supposed to have access. You're not supposed to be able to both put in code into production and then run it. It's a security violation. And it was back and forth all day with this guy. And finally, it's just, let's set up a meeting. I'm willing to meet in half an hour. No. Let's just meet tomorrow. Oh, no. Not at that time that you suggested. We needed 30 minutes after that. No, an hour after that. So, yeah, 4 hours of conversation on a conversation that should have been 3 minutes, where I say, it's a corporate violation for you to have this access, which is why I put in the revoke ticket that you need to approve. And him being like, oh, okay, let me do that. So, yeah, tomorrow I have so many meetings that I don't know what the heck I'm going to do. There's no way I'm actually going to be able to do work and have all these meetings.
I'm kind of in the same boat. You know, that I have a lead, not to mention the fact I'm trying to learn all this stuff because, eventually they're going to be restructuring some things here. And I'm going to be doing more engineering work than I am going to be doing the basic day-to-day system admin shit. So that is as long as I can get caught up on this engineering stuff. But the problem is I'm a lead, and a lot of the admins that may or may not be around in the near future bug me constantly.
Because of some of the stuff that's going on at work and the restructuring, what's going to end up happening is I'm not going to be switching teams like the way I thought I was before. But I'm going to be staying on the team that I'm on, but I'm going to be doing a lot less of the technical stuff and a lot more of the managerial stuff.
Managerial/leadership stuff, yeah.
You know, hopefully that leads my career upwards, but at this point, after 5 years of being a team lead and, you know, doing all the things it's supposed to do to get moved up and not, you know, it makes you a little jaded.
Yep. Or, like, I get this one, too, where they'll ask me, like, we have, like, cases where, like, we're not no longer going to deploy a third-party product in the cloud, but we have clients that already have it deployed, so we still need to support it somewhat. But the problem is nobody on my team actually has the training to support it. So since I'm particularly good at figuring out bullshit that I've never used before, I usually grab a lot of those cases. So, and they'll ask me things like they'll ask me, well, do you think that I'm like, I don't know.
Well, hey, like, what's your guys' opinion on this new trend, well, it's not exactly new now, of quiet quitting.
What, just doing, like, your job? The job you're paid
yes.
for and not doing anything
exactly.
more?
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't call that quiet quitting. I call that doing your job, and if they want you to do more, then they need to compensate you for that.
Yeah, we're talking about quiet quitting. Yeah.
Yep.
When I read about that, I kind of agreed with Joel to the extent that, like, if the expectation, if you're doing your job and there's an additional expectation on it and that's not agreed upon, see that?
It's like the pieces of flair in the movie Office Space, you know. Do you want me to wear, more, you know, 29 pieces of flair? Then if so, say that. But if you told me that I have to have at least 21, that's what I'm going to have.
Like, so I, having been in the situations where the expectation exceeded, I don't want to say exceeded the, like, the definition, so to speak, of the job. When I first started working at Gannett, it was a little crazy. Like, we were working, the expectations got a little out of whack with the job description and the kind of, like, indication that you are going to, you know, do your full work day, and then in addition to that, you're getting up at like midnight to 5 a.m. to do something else and then be back in the office by 9 a.m. the next morning. But that was only like a year, and they listened and said, you know, that kind of got to stop, right? We need to treat people more, our employees more respectfully, which they did. Now, I know in speaking with other people that came up, particularly through support jobs with ISPs, that they'll work you like a dog and then cast you to the side. And if you don't like it, you can get the hell out of there and
right.
all sorts of stuff. I worked, you know, coming up largely with a school district and then working for another company, and they were really, like, I lucked out compared to the horror stories that I've heard other people. Yet,
right.
if I was just starting out in a job, I would probably find it more difficult, or in a career field, more difficult to take that, quote, what they're saying, quiet quitting, kind of at, like, not, I wouldn't say not take the quiet quitting approach, but to be kind of like, hey, I don't think this is right and fair, and this is not, you know.
Say something about it, essentially.
Yeah, I mean, like,
yeah.
if I really thought my job was getting way out of whack with my home life and outside of job life and my quality of life, I think I could go to my supervisors or whatever and say, hey, look, here's a problem here. What can we do?
Right.
Yeah.
But then again, I mean, when you're talking about quiet quitting, I don't think the atmosphere of the job that these people are talking about is conducive to that, I guess. I don't
right,
know if I would
right,
call it
right.
like, well, quiet quitting
quiet
sounds kind of weird.
Yeah, no, it's a terrible term. And then people equating that to, you know, dialing it in, which is an older term for what people say is the same thing. But there is a slight difference. I mean, when you're with quiet quitting, from what I understand, what I've read, when you're at work, you're doing it. I mean, you're not doing the guy's next to you job because he's not doing it. But with dialing it in, it's doing the absolute minimum you can get away with and still have a job. And quiet quitting
right.
is doing your job.
Yep. I see.
So
that's where I take issue with that too. To me, do your job, you know, if you're only doing the things that are in your job description, and when 5:30 comes around or whatever the normal quitting time is, you're gone. That's doing your job. You know, if the expectation is you are to be on call or something, then you need either compensation for that, or you need a policy that says that you know when you're in pager duty, you have to have your phone with you. Like right. In my case,
well, when it's
I'm not
your turn
in pager
to be
duty.
On call, guess what? Right. 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 does not work for you.
That's right. I mean. And that's something I genuinely get, because that's the support model we have. But then I also look at other things, like I'll get a thing from like usually LinkedIn or something that says this seems like a good fit for you, and I'll go look at it and says it has me doing what I do now and then 3 other things, and then they want to pay me half of what I get paid now, and I'm like, yeah, screw you, I'm not even gonna bother applying. Or right. My favorite one is when the recruiter will reach out to you via LinkedIn and says, hey, can I have a call and talk to you about this position I have? I'm like, well, what depends on the job description, can you send that? And yep. Either they'll send it to me and I'll say no thanks, you know, because my thing is I don't want to waste their time either.
No, I don't even start with the job description anymore. I start with where's it at,
right?
Who's the end client?
Yep.
Because then they're going to say either Texas or Florida for 90% of them, and I'm going to be like, no.
Right. So, I mean, it's, you know, it just seems to be the way, like, especially if it's a small shop. Like, one of the job descriptions I saw that LinkedIn said I'd be a good fit for was working for a small bank. Now, I get it that they're a small shop and that you are going to have to do more. That's just the way small shops are. But you're gonna pay me for it, you
right.
know, and you know, and I don't care how, you know, I don't care if you're a small shop or not. I'm gonna do more than what I do now for less
and get
money.
Paid less. Yeah. Why am I gonna
happening.
Switch jobs if you're right. not going to pay me more but expect me to do more?
Right.
Yeah, for the opportunity to expand your horizons.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah.
The opportunity to get paid less to work harder. But no, the other thing that gets me is, you know, they had some pretty solid points. These companies have these people that have been working for them for a long time, and they've been going above and beyond this whole time because that it wasn't just expected, but, you know, they thought that's what they needed to do to get ahead. And so you're doing your job, you're doing the next guy's job, you're working after hours to make sure things get done on time. And then when it comes time for your review, you're getting a meets expectations instead of an exceeds expectations. So all that extra work that you didn't get paid for was expected, and it doesn't go towards you advancing.
Yep. That's
it just goes towards you keeping your job.
And that's the other thing, too, that annoys me, too, is, like, on my old team, we used to have, like, we were pretty much at the time I was on the team, we were all equal there, but there was one guy that was a little bit more senior than us. And when he was on vacation, he was really never on vacation, you know, and me and my other teammate, who's still my teammate now, cause we both moved to a different team. We were like, Monty, you're killing us here, man. You know, we don't mind putting in the extra time for a server migration or something like that, but if you're on vacation, you're on vacation. It's you know, and that kind of fits right in with the quiet quitting too. It's like if I'm like when I first was on the team professional services, I used to have like this set of tasks I would have to do every week for this one client, but I took vacation to go to my son's tournament. And I couldn't get anybody to cover it with me, so I actually had to do that work while I was on vacation.
Yeah, there are
that's
plenty
not happening
of times
anymore.
Where I would take a trip, but I wouldn't take vacation because there was no availability. So on my off time, essentially, I'd, you know, go visiting family, but I'd end up working the whole week or 2 weeks that I was there. And, you know, that happens, but I'm going to get my vacation eventually.
Yeah, but I will not. I mean, if things are tight, you know, like around Christmas time, I do have the week after the holiday off. And I actually am coming home probably the Tuesday after Christmas, but I still have the rest of the week off. But would I hop on for someone? Maybe, you know, if they're that tight, you know, as long as I know about it ahead of time, as long as I don't actually have to.
I would much rather it was, you know, an emergency.
Right.
But comes up, I understand that. Okay. Absolutely right. Nobody can get this working. Nobody knows who. Nobody knows how. Joe, jump on and fix this.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, those are things I understand. But, you know, that's like my work phone never, you know, unless I'm traveling for work, never leaves the room I'm in right now. Which happens to be the same room I work in. So, you know, that's my line. You have to have boundaries, and the company really needs to understand those, especially if you're a remote worker.
Yeah. And if somebody is going above and beyond, then freaking compensate them, even if it's just, you know, during bonus time.
That's basically how I got my my promotion, is I did that. And the main reason I did it is because I knew that that position would eventually open up. So.
Right. But, you know, it happens. You go the extra mile for whatever position, and you really, really do all the work for it. You put it in, and then the company decides to hire from outside the company because they want somebody with more experience in that particular role.
Or new ideas.
Or new ideas.
That's the other. Yeah, that's the other thing I've heard before. But.
And so you're left right where you were before, training the guy, taking the position that you were hoping to get.
Yep. So.
Well, I guess I would say to all of those things, one is, if your company values you, they should show you respect, as well as if you value your company and think that they're respecting you, you would show them respect. And if that gets out of whack, then you have problems. So if the company is not respecting you, then it's probably time to find another job.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know if I would necessarily call that quiet quitting, that you're doing your job, but.
Yeah,
I think that's a terrible term for it. There needs to be a term for it. Because quiet quitting makes it seem like you're not doing your job, and what you're not doing is digging yourself into the ground for a company that doesn't give a crap about you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would say quiet quitting to me would be like showing up and instead of doing your work, watching YouTube videos or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're like doing your job, I don't know how that's called quiet quitting. But I get what they're trying to say there. It's hey, you treat me like crap. And you're taking advantage of me, and I'm not going to take it anymore.
And God forbid somebody wants to go home and spend time with their kids.
Right.
Unacceptable, Joe. Unacceptable.
I know.
See, my current manager, he has a younger daughter, so he completely understands that. And the person who was the boss, who is now the big boss above him, She doesn't, but she also has been very understanding. Like I took 6 hours off last week on Thursday to deal with the cat, you know, just because we had to go take it to the vet, and then we had to wait till Luke got home because we didn't want him to put the cat down without Luke being there, because Luke always saw that cat as his cat, you know. So they were very, both managers were very cool with that. I remember when my was in professional services, I had an engagement scheduled for like the week after. I was supposed to be back from the holiday by then, and then mom died, and I called her up. Luckily I did have my work phone with me, so I just picked it up and called her up and said, hey, this happened, and I need to find somebody else to do this, or we just need to reschedule it. So let me know. I can't do that work of getting it rescheduled. I can drop an email to the client and say, hey, this is what happened, and we can reschedule, or email to the PM and have them do that for me. And that's what happened. So, and then I stayed a week down there with my dad on bereavement, helping him with the funeral and all that stuff. So, and that's the kind of company I work for. They're very nice with that kind of crap, or like I had to go dash to the collision place to get an estimate done on my car. And I took an hour to go do that, and they didn't care. I will flag it, of course, in the timekeeping system, but that's because I'm a good guy. But they're not going to ding me for it. They're not going to say you're not doing your job for it. My management and my company both say family comes first, and that's one of the reasons I like working for them.
I kind of had to fight for my flex time this last week, so I ended up working like all of last week, and then Saturday, Sunday, and then the holiday on Monday. So I ended up working what, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9? Well, no, it wasn't 14 days in a row. It was a lot of days in a row, and so then they wanted me to come in that Thursday, and it's like, no, I'm off. I've been working for more than a week now, and I need downtime, or I'm going to go nuts. So I ended up taking Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday off.
Yep. And it's only fair.
I make sure everybody else gets their flex time.
Yep. Yeah, in fact, not only have my managers basically pleaded with all of us to take our vacation, but so has the senior vice president. He's like, you guys get that every year, take your vacations. You need time away. Because even they had to say, finally, I have to take a vacation. I'm out. See ya.
Yeah, I've got 3 weeks of vacation left for the year. But I already know that I'm basically going to have no one come Christmas time.
Yeah. Let's see, I've got a week around Christmas, and I got the week of Thanksgiving completely off. Christmas being on a freaking Sunday is kind of hurting my ability to take all of the 100% of the vacation. But I'm also going to look at, I need to go pull the December calendar up. Pick a few like Fridays here and there and just say, I'm going to take this day off. See ya.
Work's been good about letting me like carry over a week.
Right.
So
we don't get to carry over. So,
well, they've been not wanting to do that for a long time, but they've understood that sometimes it's, difficult to get those days in. So, it's unlikely that I'm going to get vacation around Thanksgiving. It's unlikely that I'm going to be able to take a full vacation around Christmas, but I'm hoping that, right after New Year's, I can take a week, but I still need to find time to take 2 other weeks worth of vacation. So probably the first month in November, nobody ever wants that. Our first week in November, nobody ever wants that. And maybe I'll get lucky and be able to do like the second week in December. Yeah, I was already saying the week after Christmas, which is week after New Year's.
Yep.
Isn't that like that every year, though?
Yeah.
It kind of is.
I got a couple of people that are usually willing to work like Christmas and Thanksgiving. The guys that are younger, don't have families, et cetera, et cetera. But they don't need to be doing that every year. Right. Actually, they got to go see their own, you know, parents, grandparents, and stuff for Christmas.
Yeah, and I do recommend that if you are a younger worker, take that time, because, you know, here I sit with where my mom's gone, most of my all of my grandparents are dead, you know, and well, never once do I wish I spent more time at work to so that I can spend time with them. It's exactly the opposite.
That's, you know, one of the things I made sure was that my kids got to know my parents and my grandparents while my grandpa was still around. Until he died this last year? Last year. So every summer, my kids, well, the ones that can, go and visit with the grandparents, and they live near the great-grandparents, so...
Yep.
Plus, get a little bit of a vacation.
Yep. But yeah, I'm going to take time off, additional time off in December here and there. Not the whole week every time, but it's going to be like a day off here, a day off there. Just because I'm going to need that time for my sanity as well as getting ready for the holiday. So, I mean, those are things, you know, and you know, that time off is important, and you know, it kind of sucked in 2020 and 2021 because a lot of times we really couldn't do that because thank you pandemic, but you know, now,
well,
yeah, that's gonna happen.
This year you had, you know, basically a mass migration of people away
from
jobs.
Resignation.
Yeah, the great resignation of people that decided that the work from home dynamic was for them and moved to jobs that were going to stay on that model or just moved away from companies that were treating them like crap. And, you know, my company does want us to go back into the office, so we had a lot of turnover, and that's a lot of everybody covering down on everybody else's work.
Yep. But a lot of times it may have the opposite too sometimes. You know, I personally, I don't understand why companies are enforcing the got to be at the office thing. Mostly because it's going to end up, like, I know our company has actually reduced our real estate expenditures just because we don't need as much space as we used to have. I mean, there's just no sense in it. Especially since we were able... It worked.
If it worked so well for 2 years, you know, then why the pushback?
Yep. Well, even Apple's kind of doing that pushback too at their big old building they built.
5 days a week, so you could be on a conference call with someone outside around the world who's working from home.
Yep.
I can be on a conference call
no matter where I am. Yeah,
I proved that for 2 years.
Yep. See, that's where I'm great. My company has always had a huge percentage of the workforce working off of at out of their homes because it made more sense. Because you know, you have that person who did that kind of work for years for a college that lives in Iowa. You're going to take that person who worked in lives in Iowa and ask them to move to DC metro area? Are you kidding?
Yeah. That, yeah, you don't have to pay the guy that lives in Iowa as much as you do the guy that lives in Washington.
Or you can pay them the same thing and they can live in the lap of luxury.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, and that's the thing, you know, not to mention the fact the company gets to save on airfare because where you live in Iowa might be closer to that client that might be in Minnesota or Ohio, right, or wherever. So I mean,
that's another thing that gets me about, like, the jobs that people have been throwing at me, you know, 100% remote. Oh, the reason we want to pay you so much less is because it's full-time remote.
No. You should pay the same. In fact, actually, probably more because you're going to be more willing to do work outside of your shift hours.
Right.
Because you're home.
That's another thing. I know we've mentioned it on the show before, but I'm quite willing to jump on in that time frame that I would normally be commuting to work to help solve a problem. So
yep.
7 a.m., you want me on? Fine, I'll run a meeting. I'll get on there. I'll solve problems.
It's a financial advantage both to the company and to the employee in this case. The company doesn't have to pay for your space. You know, the only thing they have to pay for you minimally is going to be a laptop and maybe an external screen, all right, or and a dock. You know, they don't have to buy you a desk chair. They don't have to buy you a desk. You know, they don't have to supply you with a phone line because you can just they can supply you. I guess they can supply you with a cell phone if you need to actually be on the phone, but you know. That's it, and then the employee saves by not having to have a full like work wardrobe, like wearing khakis and polos to work. You know, as long as you're not required to be on camera for the calls, you know, or have a certain dress code when you are on camera for the calls, then you save money. Like my uniform for work is a t-shirt and pair of shorts. You know.
Right.
I never wear anything different. You know?
Well, I'm sure that most of your people that are required to wear something for a call and have a special hanger.
Yep.
You know, right there next to the office area.
And you only have to dress up the top.
Right? It's got a jacket and maybe a collared shirt, and they throw that on 30 seconds before the meeting starts. They take it off 2 seconds after the meeting ends.
Yep. Even my manager's manager wears t-shirts to her Zoom calls if she's on cam. we just don't care. As long as it, you know, she might put something different on, like if she has to meet with a client on cam, but most of us don't even bother, you know. All working from home, you know. Heck. You probably, depending on the type of person you are, you may even save money on other things too that you would normally have to use every day, like I don't know, showering. It's like if you're not around anyone else, then you know, what's the point in jumping in the shower? Just run a comb through your hair and you're done. Except for maybe not stinking too bad for the fam.
Right.
But, you know, and gas and time driving and gridlock and
yeah. And moving into politics as opposed to, you know, work politics, I've kind of noticed that everybody was talking about, you know, it being Biden's fault that gas was up over $4 and approaching $5. But now that you're back in the sub $3 range, nobody mentions it whatsoever.
I wish we had sub 3.
Yeah, we don't have sub 3.
Oh, I think we saw 280 something the other day. 287.
My only thing on that is if Biden didn't want to take responsibility for the prices going up, he can't take responsibility for it going down.
Well, he's not trying to take responsibility for prices going down, but he also was saying that it's not his fault that it went up. Everybody else was saying it's his fault that it went up and then not saying anything when it went back down.
Well, all I know is whenever they name a bill something, it usually has the effect of the complete opposite.
Exactly. $3.29 is the general price in our area currently. And there's a couple that are above that.
I remember it was below $2 not that long ago.
Yep.
I go into the fucking supermarket and a can of fucking soup is like $5. I remember paying $1.50 for that.
Yeah. But a lot of the inflation has to do formerly with gas prices being high, but also with
supply chain.
No, supply chain.
Yeah.
And all the fun things going on overseas.
Yep. Oh, that's like the part for my son's car for a warranty repair to replace his the fan that runs his air conditioner in his car. Took a month to get the part. And I hope it doesn't take that to get my part for my Traverse. But and what's kind of funny too, GM said, okay, now we're ready to take those option deletes that your car was supposed to have, and we're going to put them back on it. for you for free of charge. All right, like heated seats and stuff like that. Like they sent me an email about my son's Trailblazer. It says, hey, call us and we can help have your heated seats put in. And we're like, we already have them. It came with them. My son got lucky when we bought that car, and most of the features that it was supposed to have, it had, and the same thing with mine. So, you know, it has everything it's supposed to have, but it's like, well, why don't you just, I don't know. You know, the whole car sales game now is just ridiculous now.
Yes, extremely ridiculous.
Especially what they want to charge for a used car, but... and then I can't, like, I remember a day where I could set an appointment to have something fixed on my car. I go to the dealership, pull in, give them the key, take my laptop, go work while I wait for the car to be fixed, and it's fixed in one day. That doesn't happen anymore. So, I'd love to know why. And then Dan's like, I don't know what you're talking about. They did fix my cars all in one shot. All I know is, Dan, you got lucky on those. Real lucky.
Yeah, I haven't had a problem with
mechanics around here.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends if you take it to the dealer or not in a lot of cases.
Well, I mean... It's been the same. It's like the dealer or not. Like, the Kia goes to the dealer. The other cars go everywhere else.
Of course, now there's a railroad strike looming.
Do, 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 do. You know what else we got to strike? Strike the hell off of this show. It's time to...
Yes, it's 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock.
Time to find out if the audio is going to work right this time.
Ooh, did it not work last week?
Well, I mean,
it was spotty earlier.
Yeah, it's. I'm having all sorts of problems with audio devices these days.
Hey, I could probably send you a new laptop if you want, Dan. I don't know how fast it is, though. My son, we had to buy him a new laptop for school because his old Windows laptop was just way too freaking slow. I've got Windows 11 on it now, and I'm debating, well, I'm going to try and get them to try and check it out, because the last thing I need is another laptop up here, another old laptop, but it's terabyte, Core i5, 8th gen, and...
Just add it to the stack. That's not that old, 8th gen.
Wait, no. Is this the one? This is the one that's getting replaced. That's like newer than all of my one. My laptops I was say, I use on a regular basis.
Yeah. So I don't know. The only thing I don't like about it, and I wish you would have seen it, was it does have a terabyte spinning disk in there, but it's like only 5,400 RPM, so the disk is freaking slow. So I don't know. So I may throw Linux on it after a while just to see if it works, or maybe buy a SSD to plop it in there, because it'd definitely be very usable with an SSD in it. But I don't think of our normal laptops that we use every day around here, they all have SSDs. I have some old ones up here that have spinning disks, but I almost bought a Pinebook when we finally did get our federal tax refund. But of course we ended up using most of that for the cat and the freezer that we just bought. So I did buy something. I bought a Google's Pixel Stand 2 for my phone that I have sitting by my workspace here. And it has to be one of the fastest wireless chargers I've ever had. In fact, it's just as fast as if I plug it into the wall. So, and it works with other phones too. It's just Qi charging, so you just won't have the extra. Like, it has pixel specific options when you set it on the charger. Like, I can have it like act more or less like a Google Home Hub. so I can talk to the phone as it's sitting in the stand, and it'll show pictures and stuff. Also, this one actually has a small fan in it. You never hear it, but it actually has a fan in the charger. So, but it's expensive. It was like $80, but you know, I had a little bit of money. I just decided to get that. So, Luke's new laptop, I'm a little jealous of. It's a Asus VivoBook. It's just got Intel graphics on it, but man, it's pretty fast. Pretty nice too when I set it up for him, but too bad I can't use Linux on it.
So anyway,
everyone have a great week.
Here we go.
We'll talk at you later. Play us out, man.
Yeah, here you go.
I am short.
Oh my God,
it's Hacker Public. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest, and talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush.
Shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. Sushi.
It almost sounds like you have a compression on.
Or a capacitor issue.
Yeah.
You're using the external USB, right?
Hold on one second.
Is it on a powered hub?
No. Yeah, hold on.
That sounds terrible.
That's a really good question. That got a hum. Wicked ground whip on that.
Hopefully this is not going to be loud.
It will be.
Yep. Excuse me. Boy, that sounds like shit.
That's
well, at least by doing that, I can kind of get a better idea where the problem is.
Right.
So that was playing off my phone with the audio jack into my phone, which is telling me...
It's whatever you're plugging the phone into.
It's not what's playing it. It's what is...
Receiving it.
Yeah, and I gotta figure out why that is a problem. Because this is an external sound card into the line in, it shouldn't be a problem.
Oh, I just remembered. I forgot to talk about my Lothric SIO to SD adapter that I got.
Save for next
week. I'll talk
about
next week. Yeah, it's a floppy emulator for my Atari 800XL. A lot of fun. I didn't get one for the QC yet.
Oh man,
you're yawning. Thank you, man. Have you been watching She-Hulk?
Absolutely, yes. I love it.
It's got its cringe moments, but it's not that bad.
Oh man,
you want to talk about cringy? Thor, Love, and Thunder. That was cringy.
I enjoyed
that. I can actually watch it now. Oh, you know what I did finally watch?
It was like watching a teen angst film with none of the teens.
You know what I did watch, though? I did finally watch Top Gun Maverick, and it was fan-freaking-tastic. I loved that movie. I actually bought it. I bought it on Play Movies. But yeah, it was worth the wait. It'd be nice if they made another one, but.
All right, I gotta stop the recording. Say goodnight, Joel.
Goodnight, Joel. And we had his remains back Saturday. So he's in a box on my mantle, and even got a little snippet of his fur, which was kind of nice. And then
get the paw imprints too.
Yeah, yeah. And today we got a card from his vet, and they must have took some of his paw prints there at the vet too. They like photocopied some and threw them in the card, which is kind of cool.
We did that for my wife's cat when he died. But we were a little short on money when my cat got sick. Like, really to the point of death sick. So we took her to the local animal shelter to have put down. They don't do any of that.
Nope. That's probably a community cremation right there. Now he did the private one, and when they it was kind of cool when they delivered them. They delivered them in a little velvet bag, but so we got his paw print and all that on the mantle, and Sassy is in this room with me.
Ocean, the cat, got an urn.
Ah, ours is like a box. Technically, you can. It's a little different than the one I got for Sassy. The one I got for Sassy actually has a lid. You can actually open it and see the bag of ashes in there. And then Sparta's is kind of sealed up, but I probably won't ever open his. But
I miss my little podcast, buddy.
Yeah. That's one qualification we have. If we get a new cat, we want it to be a lap kitty. Spartan never really was that.
What, 16, 17?
But how old was
17.
It? 17. Oh, my cat was your 17. Cat. And mine was 13.
Jackie's cat was 19. 20.
That's 22. Pretty good.
22.
That's incredible for a cat.
Yeah.
Cats are between 13 and 18, I think, is when they usually pass.
Dogs are getting up there, too. I mean, they're both 12, 13. Well, you can see it. They're turning gray. Still getting around pretty well, though.
Yeah, so did Sassy up until the day she died. Yeah.
Mine are lab mixes, and a lot of time with labs, you get hip problems as they get older.
Yeah, that's true.
Vision problems.
See, Sparta's, his visible thing was he had this big hump on his, big bump on his right hip. And he was, I mean, we didn't really think too much about it other than, you know, the obvious of something like that. It was probably cancer. So it was like, take him in now when he's not bitching about it, or let it go.
The major problem.
Yeah, and that's kind of what we did, because he actually picked it open and kind of got infected, and he started losing his appetite. So the med vet I was not really happy with. All they did was cost me $400. They could have done the x-rays that my vet did, and they would have figured out that he had to been put down. Because they did the x-rays on his chest, and they found tumors in his lungs. So,
yeah.
Fairly common from cats, I hear, anyway.
I imagine it's a little bit difficult to perform kitty lung surgery.
Oh, well, and it's very, very expensive because, you know, it's not real such thing as really good pet insurance. You know, pets are worse than us with insurance.
If you're looking at a 15-16-year-old cat as it is.
Right. Yep.
Then what's their quality of life going to be?
Yeah. Well, it's like the one on his hip. If that's all it was, we probably could have amputated that leg, even a tripod kitty. But then he would have at least able to go a few years. But with the tumors in the lungs, it just wasn't worth it. You know, he might have got another month or two if we. And we would have been like $4,000 or $5,000 lighter in the pocket, and it's like,
considerably more.
Exactly. Chemo isn't cheap, even for cats.
Yeah, I can't imagine a cat, something as physically small as a cat, doing well with any kind of chemo.
Nah, it wasn't worth it, especially since Sparta was. Our little old man, he was just an old kitty.
I know that sounds like a horrible thing to say, but you gotta weigh out them pros and cons there. I mean,
yep. I think
cancer
it's quite,
sucks when you're a person.
I think it's ironic that we'll euthanize our pets, but we don't do it with humans, especially. Different story if the human really wants to go through the fight, which we usually do.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But when a person doesn't want to fight anymore, you know, we just stick them in a place called hospice and
let them slowly die.
Basically, yeah. I mean, it's I don't know.
It's because of the Christian underpinnings.
Yeah.
The fundamentalist Christian underpinnings. But, no, you do have countries where the assisted death is perfectly allowed. Your Dr. Kevorkians, are allowed.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you don't have the will to live, you don't have the will to live, There's no sense in you wasting away to nothing. I sat and watched my mother-in-law do that.
Yeah, when somebody's, ready to say to hell with it.
Technically, she was wanting to still fight, but there was not really anything they could have done.
Right. Well, in that case, if she still wants to swing for the fences, then by all means, swing for the fences. Even if there is no
hope. Yeah, I was going to say, just because you go in the hospice doesn't mean you won't exit it. And I had a friend that I used to work with, ex-police officer, and he's retired from where I used to work. Went in a hospice, and by some miracle, he improved in hospice.
Yeah. No, I have a coworker whose mom was in hospice for like 2-3 years, like before COVID and like through most of COVID was in hospice because her kidneys were failing. And she had like very, very little kidney function. Mm-hmm. And just said, I'm tired of dialysis, go to hell.
Right.
And went into hospice and just kept living.
Mm-hmm.
She has not died yet, and it's been like 3 years.
Yeah. Yep. Some people are just like that. But I guess I don't have colon cancer because I've never heard from the doctor, so.
Yeah, you usually hear the bad news first.
Yes. So, and my next regular doctor appointment's like in November. But
I gotta check when, but I know early to mid-October I should have another blood test, and they should test my white blood cell count just to see if there's cancer as well. But mostly it's hormone levels, cholesterol levels, all the normal stuff.
Yeah, I think they'll do my bloodletting then, too. I have a feeling it may increase my one med, but...
Yeah, I want to see how much my cholesterol has increased. Shouldn't be high. I control my diet pretty well. My calorie count has been a little higher than I wanted it to be. But still, it's all been healthy food, so.
Yeah, Murph, we had to put my cat down.
That sucks.
Yep, it does. Now Dan can play the cat meowing and it doesn't mean anything. It's kind of nice not having a litter box anymore. I told the wife, don't, even if we get another cat, we're just going to buy a new box just because I hated the one Sparta was using. I just didn't want to change it out for the old guy.
I can't actually imagine my wife letting us go without a cat for all that long, or probably two cats.
Yeah. She's talking about two. But
I'm surprised we haven't picked up a third one. I've been vehemently against it, especially as much and as quickly as these cats fill up our current litter boxes. We have two litter boxes, but it seems like they're getting changed almost twice a week because these two cats that we have just
shit a lot.
Throw nuts on them.
Yeah. I'm going to get one. A friend of mine recommended if we get another one, they have them where they. The entrance to the box is on top, so they climb in and then go potty that way. And that way, it's their hind end. Yes, the hind end's all in the box, so he can pee and poop and then kick the hell out of it. It won't matter to me.
Yeah. Yeah, we had to. We don't have the ones where they get in from the top. We have the ones where they get in from the side. But, you know, all the sides but where they get in is covered. So mostly that's taken care of because the one cat was just, like, flinging it everywhere. It's like, what the heck are you doing?
Yeah, it's not about, like, the Sparta was the same way. It's like, it just wasn't about covering it. He just liked to kick the shit out of the litter.
Right.
Literally, every once in a while you would find a turd that he kicked out of the box once in a while, or a clump, you know. But it's like, Jesus, dude, do you really have to do that? I know it feels good, but we love him anyway.
Jackie's also really good at finding really cute cats that are near us.
Yep.
Sadly, some of them are like Maine Coons, and like people are really serious about their Maine Coons around here. So like thousands of dollars for a cat.
It costs $40 to go to cat welfare and get one.
It's a really big cat though. What Jackie's saying.
Oh, Maine Coons are, though, yeah.
Yeah. I still don't know about paying a couple of grand for a cat.
No. Nope. Just find it. There's lots of rescues that need someone.
Yeah.
That's what I prefer.
All our cats and dogs, we usually either... Well, one dog was a rescue from the Rescue Society. The other dog,
It's a Little Thing Tech Show.
Jackie's aunt and uncle had found, like, out in the desert. And they couldn't take care of it because it got too big.
Yeah, found cats are always the best. Like we had one cat that, he was a really great one. He was definitely a lab kitty. We called him Smokey because somebody found him out in the parking lot where I worked towards the end of my shift. And I just decided to bring it home. You know.
Well, Ocean, our old cat that died, he was the one that we had for the longest, 22 years. Got him from the rescue. It's a little thing ticks. But our next cat, which was named Dog, which was my cat, the Duchess of Gluttony, because she was like half Maine Coon, and she was big, but she was all my cat. And we found her at State Line Restaurant with a bunch of, you know, her little kitty siblings, and we just took her. And then our third cat that we got, Bud, because he's about as smart as a potato. Well, Jackie almost hit Spud with the car. Then we weren't supposed to keep Spud, but we got Spud fixed and got all his shots up to date. And then we're supposed to find a friend to take him, and that friend never materialized, so we ended up with three cats. And then Galileo, the cat we got right before. Spud. Yeah, that we call him Spud because he's a potato. Galileo we got from, what was it, the Give and Take? Liberal Women. A Facebook group, a Liberal Women of Collin County. And they were giving the cats away, so we got a cat.
Rich, can you just go suck it?
Rich on?
No.
No.
Then why would you say that, Joel? That's just
Yeah,
rude.
Why would you say that, Joel?
Did he show up last week?
No.
No.
I didn't think so.
Yeah, well, Minix showed up for a few minutes, but he didn't talk because I was busy talking or Dan was busy talking. But we had some pretty good conversations. Like I said, we didn't miss you at all, Joel.
Why are you echoing?
Because Joel.
Joel, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Under your settings, under audio input, if you go down to audio processing, is echo cancellation disabled?
No, it's on.
Disable it, because I think that might be it, because I was futzing around with shit over here, and that was causing problems.
Actually, it's showing disabled. And I did a test in a test channel, and it was fine. So it wasn't like that one time.
Alright.
And I don't hear myself as... I can still hear it in the background from your side, Dan, but...
Hear what?
Myself a little bit. It's not really noticeable. Actually, it won't let me turn on echo cancellation.
Testing.
Granted, I'm going right at ALSA, so I'm not using Pulse. It's going through right straight to the card.
So, go ahead and speak, and tell me if you hear yourself echoing back.
Speaking. Nope, I don't.
Test, 1, 2, 3. I don't hear it either anymore.
Hello, 1, 2, 3, 4. Nothing.
Nope, I don't hear it either.
What changed?
I did then.
Check.
You were Joel, unmuted.
Okay, Joel, keep talking.
Test.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2. There we go.
What?
If anybody's talking while Joel is talking, like literally while he's talking, then there's an echo.
Yeah, but I'm
getting... Yeah, it's strange.
I'm getting an echo even... Wait, no, I wasn't getting an echo there.
Yeah. It's just when he's talking.
Wait, am I getting an echo now? No, I'm not. No,
nope.
I just got one right there.
That's because I enabled myself.
Wait, I'm not getting one now, though. No, I just heard it. You know, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
Here, go ahead and talk now while I'm talking. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2.
Wait, who
Dan,
should be talking?
Go ahead and talk. Go ahead and talk while I'm talking.
I'm talking
while
you're
talking. 1, 2, 1, 2.
You know what? Is I hear you echoing, but I don't hear me echoing.
Hmm.
Go ahead and talk now.
Okay, I'm talking again. And 1-2, 1-2, 1-2.
It's not consistent. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Like right there, I just heard myself when Joel came on.
That was Joel.
But it's not consistent.
It sounds like there's something else echoing as well, not just Joel. But it's mostly Joel.
Yeah.
Are you using a headset, Joel?
Yep.
What headset?
Logitech H600.
Logitech H600. Has it got a stiff microphone arm?
Not really.
It's got something else that's stiff.
Yes, it has a stiff microphone arm. I can see it in the picture.
Why would you say not really? Is it soft?
It's not like some headsets I've had in the past.
Okay.
Or like the one I use for work now, which is a Avantree Bluetooth one.
So
that
it's...
one's a stiff one. This one's more like flexible.
Okay. So it's Joe. You can't ask.
If Joel has
an opinionated question like that. It has to be more specific.
Joel, do you have a stiff one?
Not currently.
Okay.
Which I
Not
think that's
a good like
thing.
10, 15 years?
Oh, all right.
I'm ready.
So this is episode 971. All right, let's get it going. Here we go. We ready, Joel? Give me a count around.